From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Ledson.
Our sport has a bright future ahead. Every day, around the world, new federations spring up.
That's from United Passions, a big budget feature film financed by FIFA. It's the epic origin story of the men who built the World Cup and the idea that football could unite the world.
FIFA.
FIFA!
FIFA spent more than $20 million on this thing, and it bombed. The film only made $918 on opening weekend in the U.S. Critics called it one of the worst movies ever made, and at least some of that had to do with the timing. June 2015. While United Passions was trying to depict FIFA as a noble institution, the real FIFA was in freefall, collapsing under a massive international corruption scandal. Mother Jones reporter Tim Murphy unravels the story from the beginning.
Back in 2010, the name FIFA didn't mean much to Richard Frankel.
I will say I was not the biggest soccer/football fan.
Frankel was an FBI agent in New York. His usual suspects were the mob and white-collar criminals. FIFA was a soccer organization based in Switzerland. But when he and his colleagues started pulling at threads, they found a sports organization that was not so different after all.
Because everyone knew FIFA was corrupt. It was basically corruption across the board. It was pay to play.
Payments flowed to FIFA officials in all sorts of ways.
You got, you know, a swag bag, but you got a swag bag of like Rolexes.
Or just a bag of bills.
They were just given cash in the bag. That was in the swag bag.
World Cup hosts were chosen in secret meetings in FIFA's basement. And there were suspicions that those votes had a price tag, too. Frankel worked the case for years. A top FIFA executive even wore a wire. And then, one morning at a hotel in Zurich...
We begin with a bombshell in the world of soccer. Some of the sport's top executives were arrested this morning at a hotel in Zurich, Switzerland.
According to the Justice Department, FIFA was being run as a criminal enterprise.
As FIFA officials were escorted out, a hotel employee held up a white bedsheet to block them from view. The metaphor was irresistible. FIFA's dirty laundry was finally being aired. Come to think of it, that might have made a good movie. The raid shattered FIFA's old guard. Its president resigned. The senior leadership was gutted. And into this vacuum stepped Gianni Infantino.
Dear friends, chers amis, cari amici, queridos amigos, etc., etc.
Infantino was kind of a dark horse, a Swiss-Italian bureaucrat who had spent years helping run European soccer. And suddenly he was crisscrossing the globe, insisting that he was the man who can save FIFA.
We will restore the image of FIFA and the respect of FIFA. And everyone in the world will applaud us and will applaud all of you for what we'll do in FIFA in the future.
David Kahn is an investigative reporter who wrote a book called The Fall of the House of FIFA. He says Infantino's message to FIFA's more than 200 national federations was simple.
FIFA's not going to fall. I'll bring the organization through. We'll reform it and we'll get it on its feet and it'll be successful and the money will keep flowing.
I did reach out to FIFA and Infantino for this story. I never heard back. Infantino's first major test was the 2018 Men's World Cup in Russia. Russia had recently annexed Crimea, it had passed anti-LGBTQ laws, and had been banned from the Olympics over a massive doping scandal. The vote awarding Russia the World Cup, which happened before Infantino took over, had been clouded by accusations of vote buying, which Russia denied. Vladimir Putin seemed determined to send a message. He wasn't going to change, and you can't make him. Infantino was there to give him a stage.
We can welcome the world to discover a Russia that maybe they don't know yet.
Infantino praised Russia so effusively that Putin awarded him a medal, the Order of Friendship.
It's Mbappe! Oh my word!
But then the World Cup started.
Teenage kicks! The ultimate teenage kick!
And what were we talking about again?
how good was the PR for Russia, for Vladimir Putin, from the hosting of the World Cup in 2018? And how much did everyone say they'd had a wonderful time and that Russia wasn't this awful country that people painted it as, and the Russian people had been so friendly and welcoming? And then he launched this terrible war in Ukraine.
4 years later, FIFA took the World Cup into a whole different kind of controversy in Qatar, a tiny Gulf monarchy so hot in the summer that FIFA eventually moves the tournament to November. A country with almost no World Cup infrastructure suddenly building stadiums, subways, an island, almost entirely from scratch. FIFA sold it as an inspirational story. Qatar's World Cup was also chosen by FIFA's former leaders. It was another test for Infantino. What would he do?
What was the reaction of human rights advocates to Infantino? What did people think he might do differently than old FIFA?
Yeah, it's a really great question.
This is Mustafa Kadri.
He wasn't known to be a big corrupt person. He was seen as someone who was a reasonably good manager, quite respected. So when he comes in, there's a lot of hopes that things will really change.
Kadri is a human rights lawyer who runs a group called Equidem, which investigates labor abuses in global supply chains.
So I had done research back in 2016, which was the first research to directly find forced labor of workers on an actual Qatar World Cup site.
And so he takes these findings to Infantino, literally.
So I had a conversation with him.
Kadri presents Infantino with the facts that workers are suffering,
often dying because of the extreme heat or falling from unsafe sites or not being paid, horrible, gruesome injuries, being punished when they would actually go on strike because of their conditions.
Kadri says there were people inside FIFA who seemed to take human rights seriously, but Infantino's response felt more like indifference.
What struck me about his response at the time was it was like talking to a politician.
Qatar denied allegations of human rights abuses ahead of the World Cup. Then, on the eve of the games, as criticism was mounting in the press and around the globe, Infantino held a press conference.
Today I feel Qatari. Today I feel Arab. Today I feel African. Today I feel gay. Today I feel disabled. Today I feel a migrant worker.
He kept going.
Of course, I'm not Qatari, I'm not Arab, I'm not African, I'm not gay, I'm not disabled, I'm not really a migrant worker. But I feel like them, because I know what it means to be discriminated.
Then Infantino turned the criticism away from Qatar and toward the West.
I think for what we Europeans have been doing in the last 3,000 years around the world, we should be apologizing for the next 3,000 years before starting to give moral lessons to people.
Infantino spoke for nearly an hour. When Kadri heard the speech, he thought Infantino was sending two messages.
One of them is depressing, one is chilling.
The depressing part, Kadri says, was that Infantino seemed to be saying he was done listening to Qatar's critics.
I don't care if there's issues there. This is Qatar's World Cup, and we should embrace that. The second thing he was doing, which was very chilling, was effectively sending a light to the Qataris that, look, you can go and do whatever you want to people.
FIFA is saying, we're just a sporting body. We can't tell people what to do. Except, Kadri points out, FIFA does do that. It controls its events down to the tiniest details.
We saw that when FIFA wants to, they can make sure that, for example, you cannot wear one of their official sponsors' logo T-shirts in the stadium.
But Kadri says FIFA refused to flex that power in Qatar to protect the rights of workers.
So there's incredible leverage that they have on governments when they have really glaringly bad human rights records. And we didn't see that happen.
Then the tournament began. And once again, the beautiful game delivered. Messi lifting the trophy, a storybook ending, Argentina, campeón del mundo. I'm not going to lie, it was awesome. The stadiums were full, the audience enormous. FIFA brought in an estimated $7.6 billion from it. And another golf ruler was watching closely. At the opening match in Qatar, sitting right next to Infantino, was the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman, the guy the U.S. government says authorized the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi just 4 years earlier. Saudi Arabia had already been pouring billions into sports. Now it wanted the biggest prize of all, a World Cup of its own.
We believe in the power of football, the power it has to bring us joy.
In its World Cup bid video, the country's message echoed Infantino's. Football unites the world.
You see, it's more than just a game. It's a passion, a way of life, a universal language that connects us all.
And in December 2024, Infantino made it official.
The host of the FIFA World Cup 2034 will be Saudi Arabia. Mabruk, mabruk to our friends in Riyadh.
I think that you have to accept that FIFA did reform. It reformed its governance, it reformed its processes, and it had to.
David Kahn, the investigative journalist, says that under Infantino, World Cup host nations are no longer chosen by a small, secretive committee uniquely vulnerable to corruption. Now, all 211 members get a say.
But as we've seen, there wasn't really even particularly a vote for Saudi Arabia to host it in 2034.
Allegations of vote buying? That was the old FIFA. Now there's an open World Cup vote, with one country on the ballot. But the other thing that's changed in the decades since Zurich is FIFA's relationship with power. The future isn't being decided by a few FIFA insiders in a Swiss conference room. It's being negotiated in plain sight with the most powerful people on earth.
Soccer's come such a long way. Soccer is a game, I guess you call it football.
Yep.
Infantino has been cozying up to Trump for years. Ahead of the World Cup in North America, he even took a seat on the president's Board of Peace Initiative for Gaza, promising new stadiums, soccer fields, and sports academies. At the first Board of Peace meeting, FIFA rolled out an AI-generated video.
There is one language that still unites hearts. Football.
Of bright green soccer fields, kids playing, and shiny new buildings ball, rising from rubble.
A shared field.
We also have to rebuild and build people, emotion, hope, and trust. And this is what football, my sport, is about.
Toward peace, dignity, and hope.
But the fact that the U.S. has been Israel's chief military backer in a war that the United Nations has called a genocide makes all those promises and FIFA's feel-good story ring hollow.
Sport is this incredible glue that brings people together. People derive so much sense of satisfaction and meaning community from it. It's highly vulnerable to cynical people coming in and exploiting it for their own gain.
That's Mustafa Kadri again, who is, by his own admission, a soccer fan. But Infantino's alliances are paying off, at least for now. The next three men's World Cups could generate roughly $40 billion for FIFA.
I mean, even if you're not a soccer fan, you should care about FIFA. If you have FIFA, the most wealthiest, most popular sporting agency in the world, being able to basically partner with the worst human rights violators, that is a real threat to democracy globally.
So yeah, football really can unite the world, but money makes the world go round.
That story was from Tim Murphy, senior reporter at Mother Jones and producer Jonathan Jones. Coming up, Haiti is back in the World Cup. It's a moment of joy and pride, even if getting to the games in the U.S. may be harder than ever.
A lot of Haitians are afraid to go to the game because they were talking about ice being in front of the stadium.
That's next on Reveal.